Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, a warm welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to chat all things golf and hopefully arm you with some weekend winners are Steve Palmer and Paddy Power's Ian McLaughlin. We will be looking back on the US PGA Championship, which looked very exciting. I didn't see a ball hit because I refused to sign up to 11 sports. And we'll be looking ahead to this week's two big tournaments. We've got the Wyndham Championship, which seems to be taking place at a race course, and the Nordea Masters up in Sweden. The boys will be marking your card there. But first of all, let's look back and see what we learnt from the US PGA. I take it, chaps, first of all, unlike me, you didn't fork out because it was a free trial at least. But what was the 11 sports experience like for you, Steve?
Signed up. I thought it was okay. I mean, we shouldn't be angry with them. I mean, it was a free subscription for 7 days or so. We mustn't forget that.
I'm not having a go at them at all. No, that's absolutely fine. But, between Sky and the PGA, they should have done something.
Yeah, we don't know what the price was. But, I mean, if 11 Sports can afford to buy it, then surely Sky Sports can afford to pay for that. So, I'm angry with Sky Sports. We need to know the figure. I don't know what the figure is. I'm angry with the US PGA bigwigs because they've obviously dangled a figure which is much, much greater than it has been previously. But I don't know. But 11 Sports, yeah, it was okay. I mean, the director was obviously a little bit rusty, probably his first golf tournament. He was just showing random shots at times of completely no-mark golfers who are miles behind. I mean, it was quite odd on occasions. I mean, in a typical broadcast for more experienced broadcasters, if they suddenly show your player and he hasn't been part of the main coverage, you know that's great news, don't you? You know he's going to have done something spectacular. So you're excited when you see him. But with 11 sports coverage, particularly early on, it didn't mean that. They would literally show someone like Mike Lorenzo Vera would pop up, like 100 shots behind, and he'd just play a rubbish shot.
Or just it to within 3 feet. That's brilliant. Oh, I like that.
Bemusing coverage. They got better as the week wore on. And that roving reporter, I don't know what you thought, Ian, Seb Carmichael Brown, I mean, he was doing my head in. He was doing the interviews. And his interviews were just absolute cringe fests.
They were terrible.
The players were looking at him with just complete disdain. Seb Carmichael Brown was a bit of a weak link. But
Did it make you yearn for Sarah Sturck?
It did. Yes. It did. That says a lot. I was yearning for Sturkey. But they had quite a good lady reporter. Anna Whiteley was very good, wasn't she?
She has backlash with a bit of golf stuff as well. She does golf.
Yeah, she's golfing
like
world. Yeah, golfing world. Yeah, she was quite good. And Dominic Hollier, blast from the past. Yeah. I mean, he used to be the Satanta. Yeah. Used to be Satanta's golf man, didn't he? He was in the studio with Jamie Donaldson, and they bonded quite nicely. Yeah, I thought it was good for free. For free.
But
I
didn't, you couldn't didn't watch like it on your lovely spanking TV set.
No. And I actually have a smart TV, which the wife bought a few months back. And I was very excited because I thought the smart TV would actually come into its own, but we couldn't find a way of getting it to work on the smart TV. So I was watching on the computer, which it doesn't feel right, does it? I mean, I've got all sorts of back problems because I've had the computer in some funny angles on the sofa there. And I was in quite a lot of pain by the end of it. So there's nothing quite like watching it on the TV, and I hopefully they can get things sorted for the next time.
And Ian, am I right in thinking that just as Kupka's about to hole the winning putt, they logged a few people off? Did you suffer that
I didn't.
Problem?
I didn't. I got a rake of text.
Every night.
Yeah. I got a rake of text saying, what's going on here? Has he hold this putt and stuff like that? So I luckily had the stream from America that were showing it full to the finish. But I got my text just started flowing through, like, what the F is going on here with the 11
midnight
sports,
every so. Night midnight yeah. every night they logged you off. Out so you had yeah. to you had to log back in after midnight. It was
good
crazy.
Yeah,
it was...
That's crazy. Well, never mind that. Well, how was it for you on the betting front, Ian, personal and corporate wise? Was it a good tournament? I guess you went quite big on the each ways, and a lot of the big players were up there, weren't they? So did those extra places hurt you in the end?
They hurt us slightly. We took strong positions on DJ and Jason Day, and they obviously were out of the 10, which helped. It looked like it was kind of neutral by the end of the week. Kupka wasn't a poor result. Tiger would have been great. We were under the mark on him. He would have been a fantastic result. But it looked like we're neutral overall. Personal-wise, no, it was again another week at the crossbar, so it seems to be a bit of a trend at the moment, but see, we'll try and fix that this week.
Your time will come. And the other thing, Ian, is... did the in-play business fall off a cliff because, you know, so few people were watching, or did it hold up all right?
It held up okay, to be honest. it was obviously down from last year, but no, we were quite pleased with the amount that went through, to be honest.
Jolly good. And Steve, woe for you, or how did it end up?
Well, there was a wonderful moment in the final round when Jason Day and Thomas Peters were both tied for third place, both just two shots behind. So I was very hopeful at that point that, you know, juicy returns were coming. But Day had a very poor back nine, two over par on the back nine, and Peters came a cropper on the 17th. I mean, that was an absolute horror story on the 17th. Two balls in the water for Peters, double bogey, went from second place to sixth place in the end. Heartbreak for the podcast followers. We tipped Peters for top European at 35-1, and John Rahm birdied the 18th to nick it by a shot. So that was a blow. But good place money from Peters outright. 125-1 place, finished sixth. And Ollie Schneiderjens landed his three ball coup. Jason Day cruised into the top 30 for this will not be beaten community. So not all bad.
Well done, mate. And finally, boys, what did you learn? What's your one thing, your lesson from the 2018 USPGA? Ian, first of all.
I think it's clear that Tiger is back. That's my main takeaway from it. He was fantastic from about 180 yards in. He was the best player I've seen him since about the early 2000s. Like, obviously, he didn't drive the ball great, but it didn't seem to matter at that stage. His iron play was just so good. I think he's well and truly back. Like, the Open, there were still kind of question marks slightly, and he came to a course that probably wouldn't suit him, Belrive, and he challenged all the way to the finish. There was some doubts about his 42-year-old, would he be getting tired? It's been a long year for him. But no, he showed that he looks like he's getting younger almost. He looked rejuvenated.
Excellent. And Steve?
There's a couple of players I took from the race, to use racing parlance. Thomas Peters is clearly good enough to win majors. I mean, he was one loose drive away from setting a very competitive clubhouse target there. Finished fourth in the Masters last year, sixth in this. So Thomas Peters can win majors. And Brandon Stone, I mean, 12th place, best ever major finish for Brandon Stone. He's only just turned 25. I mean, this, you know, we've always thought he had huge potential, but could he do it outside of the European Tour environment? And yeah, that was hugely impressive from him.
Okay, let's do some questions. I forgot to ask, so I only put the tweet out 14 minutes ago. It's been a great response. So here we go, chaps. Adam says, can you see Hideki Matsuyama coming back to form anytime soon? Ian, you can take that one.
I think so. I think he's shown some signs of life. He had a good first round at the PGA and a good third round. I think he's just he was obviously injured at the start of the year, but his iron play is coming back, and he had a great week on the greens as well. So I think, like, he's third favourite this week in the Wyndham. So I think he's coming back to form.
Okay, David Bullock says, in the Racing Post, Steve generally tips each way bets. Is this also his personal strategy, or are most of his bets win only on Betfair Exchange? It'd be interesting to know his optimum approach.
Yeah, that tends to be my strategy each way. I used to be a bit of a win-only cavalier when I was a youngster, but I've come to realise that each way is actually the better value option. I mean, the place part of the bet is fantastic value generally, particularly with the enhanced terms that the bookmakers chalk up these days. But yeah, in the majors, I tend to go win on Betfair and then the top 10 market because the liquidity is strong. But yeah, each way bets is the bread and butter.
Okay, Ian Richard says, why has DJ won only one major?
Only one major.
That was Ian. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, he's had his well-publicised meltdown since about 2011. Like, he was, sorry, 2010. He had the US Open at Pebble Beach and the grass was hand. He had the 2012 PGA until he took a swing in a kind of a waste area / bunker. So yeah, he arguably could have maybe three or four majors. I think he'll get more. Obviously, he's the best player in the world at the moment. And
how many do you think he'll have by the time he retires, Ian?
I would go with, what's he now? He's about 32 now.
He's 32. He's a relatively late bloomer, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I would have enjoyed his youth. It took him a while to get going.
I would have the under over about 4.5, maybe.
Okay. Steve, one for you. Stephen Gray says, why on earth is world number 38 an RBC Heritage winner, Satoshi Kodera, still 175-1 in places for this level of field at the Wyndham? And then that gets followed up by someone who says, there's actually 200-1 out there. I'd be interested to hear Steve's thoughts as well. That was RDW. So two people want to know about him. What do you think,
Steve? Obviously, yeah, he got his win in Carolina, South Carolina, so he's playing in North Carolina now. But he has been generally rubbish since that win. His form figures, yeah, just missing cuts left, right and centre. So, and his course debut, he's making his debut at Sedgefield. So, yeah, lots of negatives, which is why he is that price. But, you don't need many positives for a 200-1 shot to become a worthwhile option. And he's won he's won relatively close to this course, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to put people off 200-1 shots.
Okay, no. Both of you can answer this one. I just want the name. Michael Rhodes says, forget the ratings. Who do they think's the world's best at the moment, Steve?
I think Dustin Johnson's the world's best.
And Ian?
I go with Brooks Koepka.
Okay, when are you going to resign, you toss? Oh, no, that's just a normal tweet that I get. How much do you genuinely stake each tournament, Steve? Well, we know that. Every Sunday you graphically tell us. But what is it roughly, would you say?
At the moment, it's between $3,000 and $8,000. And then occasionally on a special occasion like the 2018 Open Championship, I went up to 14. But
might be a good opportunity for you to imbue this with your personal message on responsible betting. So what
oh
is it?
yes. Where's the badge? Bet responsibly, but bet with passion.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I take it in your slightly more
slightly less, probably we say 5-10% of that each week. I'd say
still a fair bit. Blimey, O'Reilly. Bum. Question for both from Gareth Owen. With the years of experience on studying the stats and betting on the golf, do you find your profit loss has improved every year? Do you, Steve?
2016 was the only year I had problems, but that was down to off the course issues. Just became a father and got about 1 hour sleep a night and just couldn't focus on the betting game as much. But I suppose from 2000 onwards, when I started doing the tip in 2001, there's been a gradual improvement. And funnily enough, 2017 was the best year, and 2018 is looking like it's going to be even better. So, I suppose I think you just get more experience, don't you? And the more experience you get, the better you get.
Are you getting better, Ian?
I think so. My stakes have incrementally gone up since I've started punting on golf, and obviously being a compiler, you get to deep dive into tournaments every week and you find a lot more stuff on players and you're a lot more confident with your selection. So I think, I'd say it gradually goes up year on year.
Good stuff. Well done, chaps. Thank you very much indeed. Quick break and then back with the Wyndham Championship.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, so the US action this week is the Wyndham Championship. It takes place at Sedgefield. Now, normally with the course characteristics, we look at things like heavily bunkered and lots of water, but this is an undulating race course with a big run to the Johnny Ridley fence. So it's obviously not the Sedgefield in Durham. It's the Sedgefield in Greensboro, Steve. And what sort of track is it?
It's a relatively short par 70. I think they're going to be good to firm at the moment, but there's a thunderstorm threat on Friday.
So
there's a thunderstorm potential on Friday. So, you're looking at short hitters tend to do well around here. You know, accurate short hitters find plenty of greens. Power's pretty irrelevant and putt well on and around the putting services, obviously. Sorry, can we do that again?
No, we'll carry on.
Putt well on and around the putting services. Definitely don't take your putter on the
fairways or the bunkers.
Yeah.
Jolly good. Well, let's get a show of betting from Ian, and that will also give us an idea of the sort of quality of field we've got this week.
So we're 8 places this week again with the Wyndham. Webb Simpson heads our betting at 10-1. Henrik Stenson 14-1. Hideki Matsuyama 16-1. Rafa Cabrera Bayo 20-1. Brant Snedeker 22-1. Shane Lowry 22-1. And 25-1 bar.
So not a huge amount of depth. We'll get the lads' main tip and then we'll look a little further down. Steve, start of all, who's your number one pick?
No, you're absolutely right in terms of depth and the star names that you have got there are not playing well. I mean, we've already spoken about Hideki Matsuyama. Sergio Garcia is way down the bed, and you probably didn't even mention him there.
Nappy
factor. Because he's so out of form. Henrik Stenson's walking around with an elbow injury. So there's very, very little to beat. And Webb Simpson fully deserves his place at the head of the market. Webb Simpson is going to win this week. I fully deserves favouritism. I was expecting a little bit shorter than the 14s that was chalked up initially. This is a home game for him. Someone having a little drink there?
No, I just put my phone back down on the glass desk.
I was topping up a glass.
Oh, you were topping up. Somebody was tinkling in my ear there, so to speak. it's a home game for Simpson. He's lived in North Carolina his whole life. He's grown up playing courses like Sedgefield. His maiden US Tour title came on this track, a 3-shot triumph in 2011. He's had 5 top 8 finishes in his last 8 Wyndham starts, including 3rd place last year. Always plays well here. He's got a good record generally in Carolina.
Got the Lord on his side, hasn't he?
He's never been more confident in his ability. Won the Players' Championship by half the track in May. Secured his Ryder Cup spot with a solid USPGA effort last week. So his tail is up. He's back on the Ryder Cup team. He's playing superbly. And I think it's only weight of expectation which can hold him back this week. He knows this is a golden opportunity. I mean, if you're looking for clues when you're punting, Webb Simpson's even named his daughter Wyndham, isn't he? His second daughter is called Wyndham. I mean, for goodness sake, how much more of a hint do you need? I mean, he loves this tournament. He loves it. He's got huge affection for this tournament. And, I think Webb Simpson, if he can handle the weight of expectation on his shoulders, will win by half the track.
Name another golfer who's named one of their children with a golf theme.
We had this a little while ago. Mr. Parnovic?
Parnovic. Pebble Peach.
Pebble Peach, yeah.
Yeah. There was another one, wasn't there?
Didn't Sergio name his one Azalea? Oh,
yeah, of course, yeah. Sergio and Azalea. Yeah. That's why we did it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going with Waste Management Palmer when the time comes. Big fan of Phoenix Open. I've got to show my love for it.
Yeah, well, Southern Farms Bureau is coming along nicely. Starts school in September as well. Ian, who's your main tip?
My idea of the winner is Julian Suri. Put up a very solid showing last week in the PGA with a 19th place finish. Looking back through the stats, he ranked in the top five for strokes gained tee to green for the week. He ranks highly in the correlating stats with Sedgefield. Second in strokes gained approach, second in ball striking, first in proximity to the hole, 18th in par four scoring, first in par three scoring. He went to college in Duke, which isn't too far from here, so it'll feel like a home game for him. Chalking it up, I was expecting the industry to be kind of not to miss him, like prices around 33, 40 to 1, but there's prices as big as 60 to 1 out there. I think he looks a very solid bet this week.
Julian Suri. Okay, excellent. By the way, before we get your other fancies, there's a couple of greyhounds here, isn't there? You remember we had Cameron Champ the other week, didn't we? We said we'd try and get a six-dog race. You've got Lanto Griffin. Now, that is definitely... And Doc Redman. I mean, tell me a little bit about those, Steve.
Yeah, that's fantastic stuff, isn't it? Yeah, Doc Redman's just come on the scene. He's an amateur. What about Abraham Answer? I'm just looking through the list now. Abraham Answer's got a touch of
Brindle, couldn't he? Do you know anything about Lanto Griffin, Steve? I mean, do you know something about all these guys? Or
Lanto Griffin, web.com tour graduate. I mean, until they do something good, I mean, they need time to settle. A lot of punters get overexcited and players do well on the lower grades and then they come on, but you need time to settle we learnt our lesson the hard way the other week, didn't we, with Cameron Champ. The greyhound guy. I mean, he was just lighting it up on the web, and then he gets his first crack at the big time and he missed the cut by a shot. So I always like players to sort of come naturally onto my radar, if you know what I mean. You need time to settle on the US tour. We need time to settle on both tours.
Okay, who are you going to top up? Who are you going to augment
certainly isn't
with?
In my plans. He's certainly not in my plans
who
at
is?
The moment. A player who has settled on the US tour and appears to be finding some form is Ollie Schneiderjans. I mean, you must remember this tournament last year. Henrik Stenson and Ollie Schneiderjans going toe-to-toe down the stretch. Both of them raised their games to like incredible levels. I mean, Schneiderjan's so unlucky. He reached 21 under par for 72 holes. That would have been enough to not be beaten in any other Wyndham at Sedgefield. He deserved his maiden victory, but Henrik Stenson manfully rose to the challenge and produced final round heroics of his own. So Schneiderjan's clearly loves this track. He was fifth in the Barracuda Championship the week before last. Played quite nicely last week on his USPGA debut. So, I think Schneiderjans is a nice next best behind Webb Simpson.
And who are your long shots?
I haven't got any massive price outsiders in this one. I'm going to go with three selections. Russell Henley is my other selection. A continually underrated player based in South Carolina. So this is a close to home match. Hitting his ball straighter than ever. His stats are very noteworthy because he really has tightened his long game. More happy than ever with his equipment. One of the best putters on the planet. And a three-time US Tour winner. So I think in this sort of grade, he's very, very dangerous.
And Ian, your main one is Julian Suri. Who else are you going to go for?
I have one next best and two bigger prices. I'll go with the next best first, obviously. Chris Kirk. Looks a big price to me this week. Looking through his form, it's strong currently. Only missing two cuts in his last 15 events. He seems to be posting decent results, just not putting four rounds together. I'll give you two examples. The FedEx St. Jude Classic, he was 66-72, 66-67. And the John Deere Classic, 66-72, 66-67. So he's close, I think, to putting in a really, really big week. He ranks fifth in strokes gained approach, fourth in proximity to the hole, 11th in birdies or better. Need to go low this week. And I thought around the 80-1 mark, he was a good bet. And two outsiders are Richie Rowenski and Tyler Duncan. I'll go through Rowenski first. Playing good golf all year. Second at the Barbasol Championship last month. All his stats parallel quite well with Sedgefield. He can go well at three-figure price. And Tyler Duncan, having a good year. Hasn't missed a cut since the start of May. 12th at the John Deere and 17th at the Canadian Open most recently. His ball strike stats are very impressive. Just needs a decent week with the putter, and he's worth a chance around the 100-1 mark.
Lovely. I was having a little sift through the Paddy Power website earlier. There's so many derivative markets, isn't there, these days? I mean, it used to just be the majors that you'd push the boat out on, top Korean and top Swiss, yeah, and all these things. But you've priced them all up these days. Very impressive, I must say. Steve, is there anything else you fancy outside of the main list on this event?
No, three against the field, and that'll be my betting attack. Yeah,
no tops,
obviously you need
some
quite heavy staking on Webb Simpson. You need to go in hard there, so there's no room at the inn for any other bets.
How much would you hope to win if Webb Simpson won?
I am looking to win a Disney spitter this week. I booked a trip to Walt Disney World.
Oh wow!
Last week, so I'd like to pay for that this week if possible. So yeah, looking to win 10.
10. Is that the one in Florida or Paris?
Yeah, Florida. Yeah. I'm taking the girls to meet Mickey Mouse.
No way. When's that?
That is in a couple of weeks. Yeah. It's
really?
Very late booking. Yeah. Sorry, start September, yeah.
Is Grace excited? Can she grasp the magnitude of that? She's quite a young still, isn't she?
Yeah, she's 3 years old, but no, she's very excited about that. She loves Mickey Mouse and she loves food, and I've told her the Americans eat more than any other country in the world, so she's very excited about getting stuck into the ice cream.
Fantastic.
I don't know what I've let myself in for. I mean, it's more for them.
Well, you got a little bit frightened on that helicopter ride the other day, so I don't know what you're going to be like on the whitewater rapids and all these things.
I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah, I'd certainly like to pay for it for a Webb Simpson wager.
It's a shame there isn't a golf tournament taking place out there at that time, isn't it? You should have gone when the Florida Swing was on, shouldn't you?
Yeah, it was a bit of a rush of blood, but I don't want to get morbid on all this, but the Jared Lyle stuff really did affect me quite badly. Otherwise, it's such a heartbreaking story, and that was the sort of final little push I needed to book the. Because I was thinking, is she too young? She's not going to remember it, blah, blah, blah. But I think you've got to strike while the iron's hot, haven't you? You've got to live for the day.
You do, mate. You do. Very well said. Ian, any others that you fancy in all these top various markets and first-round leader and what have you?
Surrey's out early tomorrow. I'd put him up around the 50-1 mark for first-round leader. But other than that, it's quite a quiet week for me, punting-wise, with those four. I'm happy with those four.
Well done, lads. We're going to Sweden next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. TNCs apply, 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin. We're looking ahead to the European Tour action this week, which takes place at the Hills Golf Club in Gothenburg in Sweden. It's the Nordea Masters. Ian, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
Yes, we're 6 places in the Nordea Masters this week. Thorbjørn Olsen heads their betting at 8-1. Alexander Bjork next in at 18-1. Martin Kaymer 20-1. Joachim Lögergren at 22-1 and 25-1 bar.
Okay, well, we will start our conversation with a listener question even. It's Stephen Piggin who says, Olsen must be a poor bet this week after BA have lost his clubs. Steve, is that a blow? Has he been reunited with the old ones or not?
Not as far as I know. No, he's having all sorts of problems. He's even lost the backup set as well. So, yeah, Thorbjørn Olesen, as things stand, hasn't got any clubs to play with. So,
what do you think could be worse, Steve? A snooker player losing their cue or a golfer losing their clubs?
I think a snooker player losing his cue because they won't have the backup team that the golfers have got. I mean, they'll have the tailor-made truck will be where Thorbjørn Olesen is now trying to build a set to his specifications. But, it is a massive negative, but... It's overcomable, but he's been backed off the balls this week. I can't understand why he's been so well backed. He's down to 8-1, I think, from initial 10-1. Despite the fact he's just, he's been joking about it on Twitter. His tweets are quite funny, actually. To be fair to him, he's been slagging British Airways off, but finding a little bit of humour in the situation. But no, it's terrible timing for the lad. He's trying to clinch his Ryder Cup debut. If he won this week, he'd pretty much be there. And he's had his tournament pretty much ruined by British Airways.
That's not good, is it? Who's golf's funniest tweeter, would you say, Steve? Eddie Pepp?
Well, it used to be David Lynn, didn't it? It used to be David Lynn. We were talking about that the other day. Pepperell gets involved. I don't know. I only look at players' tweets when I'm considering betting opportunities on them. So I'm not actually on the on the old Twitter sphere, as you well know, but I just look at the occasional ones. I don't know, it's funny.
Sometimes you get one with, like, sort of, you know, the love of the Lord will light up your day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
John
3:16
and that, don't they?
I do remember them, yeah. I used to enjoy them.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, Webb Simpson. Webb Simpson is the biggest Lord lover out there, isn't he? So if there is anyone up there, then Webb Simpson should win this week.
Okay. Who's your main tip then for the Nordia Masters, Steve?
My main tip for the Nordia Masters is Alexander Bjork. The fairways are reasonably generous at the Hills Club, but the penalties for errant shots, I think this is the key point, will be hugely severe. It's basically, if you miss, it's either a water hazard. There's loads of water everywhere, tall trees or collections of rocks. There's lots of these little rocky outcrops. So I think that loose shots will destroy scorecards. It looks fairly easy off the tee, but if you are wide and if you do miss, you're going to rack up a double or a treble. So I think Alexander Bjork is a perfect fit for this course. So I'm looking at controlled, measured operators who don't make many mistakes. And obviously, you've got the bonus of Bjork being from Sweden. He's got a lot going for him this week. He's such a tidy player from tee to green. He's a short hitter, but that's no problem on this course. It's not a long course. He's got a razor-sharp short game. He won his maiden European Tour title in April. He was brilliant in the China Open final round. He's really established himself as one of the European Tour's best. And I wouldn't worry too much about what's happened in the last few weeks. He's been playing in majors. He's got no major experience. He's been playing in elite company, playing on two long courses, Firestone and Bellerive, that didn't really fit his game. So I would ignore his form figures from the last three tournaments and concentrate on how effective he has been in low-grade European Tour events on courses which fit his game.
Answer me this, Steve. Do you write your own headlines on your previews?
I wrote that one. It's beauty, isn't it?
It's not. I just don't get it. I don't know how that got in.
Scratching,
have you seen
scratching
it?
Means hurting,
no,
wounding.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't.
I get scratched by rabbits every day and
terrible.
They rip me to pieces.
Did you see it in? It says, get set for a Bjork scratching.
Bookies could suffer a Bjork scratching. I thought it was fantastic.
I like it.
No, it just doesn't work. If I'd seen that yesterday, if I'd been doing my job properly, that wouldn't have happened.
You should see my arm. My rabbits rip my arm apart every day. I see a scratch as a wounding,
okay,
a wounding move. Yeah, yeah.
Ian, who's your main tip?
Main tip is Tom Lewis. Having a decent year on both the European and Challenge Tour, I think, like, I was scouring through this field, and bar Alisson and Bjork, it's very, very weak. I wasn't massively strong in either of them, so I was kind of looking at guys at bigger prices. And Lewis was third last week in Sweden on the Challenge Tour, and around 80-1, I think, go well this week.
80-1, okay.
Yep.
By the way, if you want to get a view of what this course is like for yourself, if you go onto racingpost.com, click on sport, and then look at the Steve's preview, they've embedded a nice video. Have you seen that, Steve? It's a lovely aerial shot of the course. It looks absolutely beautiful, but
it
does highlight what you're saying about the water and the rocky outcrops.
Very rugged terrain, isn't it?
I have no doubt that in the closing holes on Sunday afternoon, one of the players I have backed will be finding himself the wrong side of one of those bastard rocky outcrops. Steve, who are you going to supplement Bjork with?
I fancy a Swedish 1-2 this week. The Swedes tend to raise their game on home turf. 7 of the last 23 winners have been Swedish. 4 of the last 10 have been Swedish. Kinnault has been tipped for superstardom from a very young age. He led this tournament at the halfway stage when he was just 18 years old in 2015. He's gone on to establish himself on the European Tour. He was 3rd in the Qatar Masters this year, 12th at Wentworth, 5th in the French Open. You've got an accurate, improving local boy here. He lives just up the coast there, and I see Kinholt giving the galleries plenty to cheer this week. So a Bjork v Kinholt shootout on Sunday. How do you like those apples?
Yeah, very good, very good. Ian, your next best here?
My next best is a Swede as well at a bigger price. It's Christopher Blomstrand. His last outing, he was 2nd in the European Open. I was very impressed with him there. He seemed to be coping well under pressure. He's a very good ball striker. As Steve said, you're going to need pretty straight off the tee. His driving accuracy stats are good, along with his green regulation numbers. These greens are very small, need good approach play. He looks to be an improving player. I like that in this sort of field. And with home support behind him, I think he can go well around 100-1.
You do love an unpronounceable golf tip, don't you?
I know.
Say it again.
The next one isn't any easier, but Christopher Blomstrand.
Blomstrand, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And the long shot, Steve.
The hills are alive with the sound of winners. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. It popped into my head. I've got two more. I got a pair of Frenchmen to finish off the staking plan. I've got Benjamin Hébert and Mathieu Pavon. Hebert is a six-time Challenge Tour champion. I mean, it's about time he got off the mark on the European Tour. He was an unlucky loser in the Belgian knockout in May. Adrian Ottagui had some very fortunate breaks in the final of that tournament, and Hebert's been knocking at the door for a long time now. Plays well in this tournament. He was eighth in the Nordea last year, and I think this course suits Hebert down to the ground. And then Mathieu Pavon, not been on the tour for long. He's 25, full of potential. Finished 25th in the US Open in June. That was a remarkable effort. Been 10th in the Irish Open since then. He was 6th in last year's Nordea, performance sandwiched in between two miscuts before, two miscuts after, came alive in the Nordea. He obviously likes this tournament, and I think Pavon's going to place his big price.
Okay, so two Swedes and two Frenchmen for Steve, and have you got any others for us, Ian?
I have one more, another tongue twister, Christian Bezuidenhout, not having a bad year on tour, 7 top 30 finishes in his last 10 events. He's a bit of back class behind him. He's an excellent ball striker in his day, and again in this sort of field, very weak field, 125-1, I thought he was worth a flyer.
Any other bets you want to mention on any of the other markets, the tops or anything, Stevie?
No. I thought Matthias Schwab was a good first round three ball bet, but apart from that, no, just the outright market. Okay. The most exciting market of all.
Well, that's one to mention then, isn't it? And Ian, anything from you?
Same for me. Very, very quiet week in Sweden for myself.
Okay, lovely stuff. Right, another question just quickly come in, which I will ask Steve, because I know that you'll have an answer. James Russell says, who is Steve's favourite... Oh, no, sorry, Niall Davison says, who is Steve's favourite web? Simpson, Neil, Simon, Charlotte, or another?
Great question. Well, Neil Webb, I'm not a huge fan of Neil Webb because he was actually Weymouth FC manager for a very brief time. He was the player manager and didn't do a very good job.
He was a postman, wasn't he?
Yeah,
there is a Webb that I know you absolutely love, and it's not one of those ones he's named. Come on, think about it. What's your favourite sitcom?
Favourite sitcom? Peep Show.
Yeah. Robert Webb.
Oh, yes, Robert Webb, yeah.
Robert Webb, of course. Yeah. Robert Webb would win. Robert Webb would win that contest, and if Webb Simpson wins this, he'll go to the top, because we backed him for the Players' Championship, and he won me a fortune. If he wins this and he pays for Disney World, then Webb Simpson will overtake Robert Webb.
And what's your favourite ever Peep Show moment?
Blimey, we would beer all night, but I think when Super Hans has taken some drugs, every episode that features that is riveting.
Okay, perhaps you should have you got a motto for not taking drugs as well?
I shouldn't be Ofcom will close us down. I've never taken drugs in my life. I'm not a drug abuser. No, don't take drugs, kids.
No.
You don't need drugs.
Just say no, as they used to say.
Just drink lots of beer instead. Beer's healthy, because you know what you're getting with beer.
And Wednesday night, Steve, is your night out tradition, isn't it? Are you out tonight?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I'll be going to the county town, yeah. It's Weymouth Carnival today, but I don't like it when the town's invaded by tourists. Yeah. Oh, well, right. I didn't like to use that word, but yeah, grockles.
Is it a rude word?
I don't know. Is it a rude word?
I don't know.
It's got very negative connotations.
We went to Devon once and all these local kids started calling us grockles. So.
Oh, did they? Yeah. I don't like the grockles. So yeah, I'll be going to Dorchester to clear my head. I always like to clear my head on Wednesdays before the action starts on Thursdays.
And how many pints of lager will you have?
I'll be having approximately five.
Five. Lovely stuff. Yeah.
Lovely.
Ian, have you got plans for the week?
I'll be in all week for the Wyndham Championship, so late nights for me all week.
Oh, wow. Do you get to start late, though?
Yeah, I'll be in from like midday, Thursday, Friday, and then 3 p.m. from Saturday. It's not too bad.
Well done, lads. So just summarising, if people are only going to have one golf bet this week, who should it be, Steve Palmer?
It should be the Webb Simpson-Alexander Bjork double.
Oh, okay, fine. And Ian?
I'll go the Julian Suri-Tom Lewis double for all the money.
I'm going to do both of those. Thank you very much, chaps. We're back next week looking ahead to the Czech Masters and the Northern Trust Open. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or on any other platform. You are listening to us back next Wednesday.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower. And we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.